Do you have room for the Savior? And do you seek Him anew? Have you a place for the one who lived and died for you? Are you as humble as a shepherd boy or as wise as men of old? Would you have come that night? Would you have sought the light? Do you have room? Do you have room? And I think you do. I think it's very evident that you do have room because that's why you're here. You chose to make room in your busy schedules and in your traditions and in your reunions and in your eating and in your gift giving and all of these things that make this time of year so busy. You made room for Christ. You made room for the one who came and lived and died and rose again. And that's who we are here to worship this evening. You know, travel seems to be a big part of the holiday season, and you know, I know a lot of people travel a long way to celebrate Christmas and the holidays. I know at least we've got Oklahoma represented here this evening. I know that might be the record or the farthest one traveled, but travel just seems to be an integral part of the holiday season. But as I think about this, each year I think I begin to appreciate more and more deeply a traveler that came. You know, because there's no one that has traveled so far as the one who left perfect glory, perfect union with the Father and the Spirit. He came so far, he had equality with God in a place that transcends all space and time. To come here from that place of all that glory to this world where there are limitations, there's pain, and there's trouble, and he came as a child. How far and how great and how amazing our God is that he came to be with us. Would you join me in the call to worship? You can't read it on your papers, but it is up on the screens. Rejoice, for God is with us. Emmanuel. Now there is reason to hope, to love, to laugh, and to live. Let us pray. Our Father God, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for a beautiful evening where we as a family who is united in Christ, comes here to celebrate the Christ who came so long ago for us, came as a humble child for us, Emmanuel, to be with us. Lord God, we just ask that you would be glorified by everything we would do this evening. It is truly about you. It is about our love for you. We thank you and praise you in all that we would do. Amen.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth.
A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, and hear the angels' voices. Oh, night divine, oh, night when Christ was born. Oh, night divine, oh, night, oh, night divine. Christ is the Lord, then ever, ever praise we his power and glory. Evermore proclaim his power and glory. Evermore proclaim.
One of the songs we sing at Christmas time is "There is a Song in the Air." There's a star in the sky, you know that. There's a song in the air. Boy, there sure was. About a holy night. We thank you for that. There is a song in the air. But there's also a smell in the kitchen during this time of year. And there's a warmth in our hearts. And there is wonder in our minds this season. We're surrounded by all those things during this time of tradition and in our time of reunions and the memories and stories that we share during this time when we celebrate what God did coming to us as a child. And we do celebrate that, oh, holy night that we just heard about when God did just that, that he came to us as a person. He came to us as a human. And how awesome it is. Every year I think about this, how tremendous that really is, that he came to us as a person. And what person was this? What child was this really? What was so holy about that night? What and what did God really send us? What was it that God saw that we needed the most? There's a poem I think attributed to a man named D.A. Carson that I think is so fitting regarding what was it God saw that we humans needed the most. And it goes like this. If God had perceived that our greatest need was economic, he would have sent us an economist. If he had perceived that our greatest need was entertainment, he would have sent us a comedian or an artist. If God had perceived that our greatest need was political stability, he would have sent us a politician. If he had perceived that our greatest need was health, he would have sent us a doctor. But he perceived that our greatest need involved our sin, our alienation from him, our profound rebellion, our death. And so he sent us a savior. You see, that's what this most holy night is really about sending us a savior. This holy night that we celebrate Christmas Eve or Christmas Eve's Eve. But there's really another holy night that we need to remember. Jesus came to save and be a savior. He came to be my savior, and he came to be your savior as well. You see, it was another night, 30-some years later, after that nativity night, that Jesus gathered his closest friends. It was at a party. And what he was about to do on that night was to give them the reason, the big reason why he came as a child in a manger. He was about to do what God only could do, to bring his people back to him, to erase the effects of this sin, and to cause his people to come back into his fold. But this was to be done at a tremendous cost. In order for people, those friends that he had gathered around that evening, his followers that followed closely after him, the followers of today, followers, me and you, he had to die. There was a ransom to be paid. There was a price, and it involved blood, because Scripture says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So it was a party. And I don't imagine that party was a whole lot different than parties that you and I will celebrate in these coming days. Parties where we get together and we hang out with our friends and our family. This was the kind of party that Christ would have been at with his friends. It was Passover. It was a festive time, like we're having now. It was a festive time. It was a great time. But he interrupted that party in the middle of the meal. And he took bread. And he gave thanks to you, Father. And he broke that bread. And he said, take and eat this, all of you. This is my body broken for you. He said that to his friends. And he says that to you and me today. This is my body broken for you. Later in that same meal, he took the cup. And he gave thanks to you, Father. And he said, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood that is shed for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. Do this in remembrance of me. For as often as you do this, you proclaim my death until I return. Would you pray with me? Our Father God, we thank you for a cradle, and we thank you likewise for a cross, because that's why we're here. We thank you for this opportunity where we can come and we can share in your grace at this meal. We praise you and thank you that you have desired first to shed that grace upon us and allow us to commune with you. We praise you and thank you. Amen. Just some instructions. We're a little cluttered here this evening, so in a moment I'll invite you to come. And I think what will work best for us this evening, I'll be in the middle and we'll hand you a piece of bread. You take a cup, and I think what will work best, go ahead and come down the center aisle, but return in the side aisles. Take it back to your seat, and in the privacy, you could pray. You can consume your elements there. There's a place to put your cups right in your pews there. I think that will work best for us this evening. Come, the table is open.
Once more in this. Spirit.